Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and, of course, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films The Greatest Night in Pop, The Space Race, and Monolith.
I would like to talk about The Greatest Night in Pop. I don't think it's The Greatest Night in Pop, but that is the name of the movie, which is streaming on Netflix and very easy for people to find. And people who are interested in pop music or rock music or the 1980s will be absolutely fascinated by it. So this is all about the recording of the enormously famous song. Well, it used to be enormously famous, We Are the World. And this all came about in the context of a benefit to help out the incredibly unfortunate residents of Ethiopia in Africa, where a horrible famine was going on. There was just all kinds of suffering. The thing apparently ended up killing almost 750,000 people, this famine, and there was a definite need for some kind of intervention, some charitable help beyond what was already being done. So some people got together and thought, well, let's have a benefit concert or something like that. And eventually the idea came about to create a song and have the song sung by everybody who was anybody in the superstar world of popular music. So that's what eventually happened. And the whole thing was really thrown together very quickly. There was very little time to plan it out. And this is really something, if you think about it, the logistics of this project and the logistics of this movie, what the movie is documenting, were quite remarkable. Because here you're trying to get together all of the greatest pop stars in the world, well, not in the world, but in the United States, or at least a whole lot of them, and have them record a song with very little time to prepare and get them all together in one place. So one idea, and this worked out pretty well, was that the American Music Awards were going to be bestowed pretty soon in a great big gala ceremony. So that meant that a whole lot of the greatest superstars of the popular music world would in fact be in one place. So hey, if we could get these people to agree to come after the awards ceremony to some place, they ended up using the A&M Records recording studio, and do their recording there, then we could actually pull this thing off. So that's what happened. The American Music Awards took place, and not all of the people who were there were willing to participate in this project, but many of them did, and so they got into their cars and their limousines and their whatevers, and they made their way over to the recording studio, where there had been a certain amount of preparation, and they had sound equipment set up and all of that, and they had a song by now. The song took a while to write, and again, there was very little time here, so even the song was, in a way, sort of thrown together in a hurry, but it was thrown together successfully. So there they had the recording studio, they had the song, they had all this stuff, they were ready to go. So what was going to happen now? So here was the deal. The idea was that everybody, all of these musicians, the whole bunch of them, were going to sing the chorus, and then individual singers would sing individual lines of the song in their own distinctive styles. Of course, it's going to be in their own distinctive styles. So who were some of the people who were at this? Well, the person who sort of serves as our guide, who appears on camera repeatedly throughout the film, speaking now, looking back on all this, is Lionel Richie. And he was absolutely one of the people who brought all this together and who glued all this together while it was actually happening. So Lionel Richie is a very major presence in the movie, as he was in the event. We also have, now get ready, just a few of the names. We have got Michael Jackson, Bruce Springsteen, Tina Turner, Paul Simon, Billy Joel, Kenny Rogers, Diana Ross, Stevie Wonder, Cyndi Lauper, Ray Charles, Willie Nelson. Wow, wow, wow. A real gamut of people, all the way from country people like Willie Nelson to real rock and roll people like Cyndi Lauper. Oh, just so many of them. And all very different from each other. Also Bob Dylan, I should mention him, because he plays a fascinating part in the movie. So here we have them all singing the chorus together. And again, Bob Dylan. he sort of doesn't really exactly sing because he knows, and I knew about this before I actually saw the film, I had heard about this, but he actually knows that he's not like a pop singer. You know, he's not a crooner of the country and western sort or the rock and roll sort. He's a different sort of artist altogether. He's a folk artist. He's a this, he's a that. But he's not the sort of traditional kind of a crooner. So he's sort of reluctant to sing a little bit. And then when it comes time for him to do his own solo a little bit, he really seems at a loss. He doesn't know how he's going to do this. And everybody else has been doing it, one person after another, getting up before the microphone, singing a line of the song, doing it a few times until they get it just the way they want it. And poor Bob doesn't seem to know what to do. And so who helps him out? Stevie Wonder helps him out. Bob Dylan takes him over to the piano, and Stevie Wonder plays it on the piano and sings it in Bob Dylan's voice to teach Bob Dylan how to do it. And then Bob is able to go back to the microphone and sing it successfully himself. It's an amusing and quite wonderful little moment in the movie. There are other kind of fascinating things that happen in the movie. At one point, where is all this noise coming from? There's noise just disrupting everything in the microphone, and where is it coming from? Turns out to be Cyndi Lauper's. She's wearing what appear to be about 24 necklaces, and they have beads on them, and they're rattling and shaking while she sings. So she takes her necklaces off, and then they can finally record her little bit. So amusing things like that. One more thing I'll mention. It is pointed out that this is, after all, a benefit for people in Ethiopia, so maybe they should have somebody suggest this. A little bit of the song should be in Swahili. So now they're trying to sing, come up with a line in Swahili and sing in Swahili, and how's this going to be done, and are they going to succeed? And then somebody wonders, do they speak Swahili in Ethiopia? So this is all kind of amusing. And Waylon Jennings, one of the sort of the country type stars who was there, he walks out. He's not going to do this. His good old boy image will not allow him to sing in Swahili or anything like Swahili. So that's a little bit of a revealing moment about Waylon Jennings. There's also some rather amusing stuff, I think, that has to do with some of the other performers. And you find out, for example, that Michael Jackson, he has to drive through all the back roads because he's afraid to take the freeway out there in California. So anyway, it's the little details like that that amuse me and that held me throughout the movie. I have to say, I'm not all of that big an admirer of 80s pop. It's not something I was ever particularly into, even in the 80s. But it's fun to see all these people. And of course, I've got some heroes there too, particularly Bob Dylan. So it's fun to see them. And it's a fascinating document of this. And it's not just people singing the song for an hour and a half. It's all the logistics and the conflicts and the way things got tense and people got hot and tired and bothered. It was an all-night session, basically, after the American Movie Awards. So all of this is kind of fun to see, and it's a fun movie to watch. Not a great documentary, but a fun movie to watch. I'd like to talk about another documentary now, also pretty easy to get a hold of, The Space Race, directed by Lisa Cortes and Diego Hurtado de Mendoza. And this is a movie about a really, really, really compelling topic, I think. It is about African-Americans, black people, black Americans in the astronaut programs over the years. And we find out at the beginning, and this shouldn't come as a great surprise to anybody, that the original astronaut program, when the whole thing was getting started many decades ago, was totally segregated by gender as well as race. You just had all of these white men, and there they were. And everybody took it for granted, and they were all very proud of themselves. And it didn't occur to anybody, apparently, for a while, or at least not to much of anybody, that, hey, there ought to be a little bit of more diversity in this program here than there is. So then, of course, eventually the thing does open up to people of color, and it opens up to women and so forth and so on. And this documentary, The Space Race, and of course that title is good because race has more than one meaning in that title. The space race is originally all white people, and then it gets diversified a bit. But you do find out how little by little, with struggle and with hardship and sometimes heartbreak along the way, black people finally managed to get integrated in this program. But my gosh, NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, was reluctant to do this. The American culture really wasn't ready for it, and people resisted it and just didn't like it. And it was a difficult thing. So what you get in this movie, The Space Race, are a number of personal stories, really. Of course, it's covering the whole sweep, the whole scope of this, what happened and how things unfold gradually over a course of years. But the most certainly compelling parts of the movie are the personal stories of people who really were determined to somehow make this happen, people who this was their great dream, but, oh, I didn't think I could ever possibly do it because there just were no black people. And then I thought, well, why not give it a try? And could this actually happen? And then some of them eventually were successful. And again, as I said, things finally did get at least somewhat more diverse than they had been before. Some very interesting stories, some very interesting personalities in here. My gosh, there's one astronaut who's also a jazz musician and an athlete. And oh, some of these people are so multi-talented, it's remarkable. And then others seem to be sort of really focused. This is what I want. This is what I wanted to do. And then when you start getting the space shuttle, things change out a bit, because then there turns out to be more flexibility. There are people who actually fly the shuttle, and then they're the sort of passengers who are there to do the scientific work during the mission. And so that opens up things a bit more, and there are more possibilities and more ways that people can get into the program and more ways that people can serve in the program. So it's a very, very interesting story that's being told. I have to say that The Space Race as a movie is really routine. It's really ordinary. And to tell you the truth, even though I find the topic really compelling, I found the movie after a while quite dull, and I was hoping it would end. So again, if you're interested in the story, or if you're able to focus on the story as the main event here, that's just great. You'll have a wonderful time and you'll learn a lot. But if you're really interested in movies that are also good movies, then you won't like this so much. The best documentaries tell a compelling story, convey fascinating information, and really involve you in a subject, while at the same time being interesting and clever movies. The Space Race is not an interesting and clever movie, but again, the subject is compelling, and it's something that I think in this day of continuing racial tensions and exclusions and all of that, it's a story that is well worth paying attention to. So having talked about a movie about science, which is a documentary, now let's talk about a movie which is about science and which is fiction. Science fiction. It is a movie called Monolith, and it's sort of about science. And it's an unusual movie, an interesting movie in various ways, directed, by the way, by Matt Vesely and written by Lucy Campbell, and starring one single person. It's a story really with only one on-camera character, and that is Lily Sullivan plays her. So we have here the story of a podcaster. Something happened in her earlier career as a journalist. She's still a young woman, but apparently something really went wrong with some project she was doing as a journalist. And now she just is sort of a little bit disgraced and can't really get back into doing her old kind of work. So she's become a podcaster. And she is taking calls from people, and she's looking for interesting stories that she can tell in her podcast and have people on and all of that. And this character, she's only known as the interviewer, by the way. Played by Lily Sullivan, but we never get her name, starts to get a hold of what seems to be a really interesting thing that has to do with a mysterious brick that she gets communications about. And the brick, nobody seems to know where it comes from, and nobody seems to be sure whether it's really a brick or what it is. And it just sort of suddenly seems to be there in somebody's life. So she gets fascinated with this, and she starts exploring the story of the brick. And there are various people who come on the phone with her, because again, there's a grand total of one on-camera character in this entire movie. People come on the phone with her, and they talk with her. So we have quite a number of different voices in this movie. People who say things, people who reveal things, and people who really, I have to say, to the director's credit and the writer's credit, become real characters, even though we're only hearing them on the phone. And it's not even Skype where you can see them, you know, or FaceTime or one of those things. You just hear their voices. But they become characters. The movie is well done in that respect. And of course, our main character, who is on camera almost throughout the entire movie, becomes very much of a character, and we get very involved with her. And of course, along the way, we wonder, what is going on here? How are things going to turn out? What is the story with the brick? What is the story with all these people and all these extremely different kinds of experiences they had with the brick? If it is a brick, and what the heck is it anyway? So it's a clever movie. It's an interesting movie. Now, of course, it all has to move towards some sort of resolution. And the resolution is the kind of thing that if you've seen a whole lot of science fiction or fantasy or read a whole lot of science fiction or fantasy in your life, it's the kind of way that some of these kinds of stories tend to turn out. And I didn't find the resolution of the whole thing to be among its most original or creative elements. That said, it's really an engaging movie to watch. I was quite involved in it, even though it only has one character on the screen through virtually the whole thing. And that's quite an accomplishment for the filmmakers. So if you're interested in unusual sort of minimalist cinema, which I am, if you're interested in science fiction and fantasy cinema, which I am, then you'll have a good time with Monolith. It is by no means a great movie, but as I often say, it's a pretty good movie, and you'll have a good time with it if this is the sort of cinema that you are interested in. So that is my partly scientific and partly scientific fictional story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films, The Greatest Night in Pop, The Space Race, and Monolith.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera National Theater Live and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.